ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द किलिंग ऑफ डीमन पूतना। विबुध्यतम बालक मारिकाग्रहम् चराचरात्मा स निमिले तीक्षण। राइट मीटर अनंतम अरोप्यद अंकमंतकम् यतारोगं सुप्तं अबुद्धिरज्जुदि ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा द ऑल परवेडिंग सुपर सोल लाइंग ऑन द बेड अंडरस्टूड दैट पूतना अ विच who was expert in killing small children, had come to kill him. Therefore, as if afraid of her, Krishna closed his eyes. Thus Putana took upon her lap him who was to be her own annihilation, just as an unintelligent person places a sleeping snake on his lap, thinking the snake to be a rope. Purport. In this verse, there are two perplexities. When Krishna saw that Putana had come to kill him, he thought that since this woman was present with motherly affection, although artificial, had to offer her a benediction. Therefore, he looked at her with a little perplexity and then closed his eyes again. Putana Rakshasi also was perplexed. She was not intelligent enough to understand that she was taking a sleeping snake on her lap. She thought the snake to be an ordinary rope. The two words antakam and anantam are contradictory. Because of not being intelligent, Putana thought that she could kill her antakam, the source of her annihilation. But because he is ananta, unlimited, no one can kill him. So I'm really blessed and fortunate to be in this temple, in this position, giving class, even though totally unqualified. So many of you are my heroes. I listen to you online. I get inspiration from you. Whatever I'm speaking, I'm basically repeating your words. Gopinath Prabhu and Rajabihari Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu. So many names I'm forgetting now. Thanks to my good friend Jay Gauranga Prabhu for this arranging this and giving me this opportunity. So when I was preparing for the class, it brought back so many sweet and sour memories, because this was the first pastime I ever read in my life. I was, those of you that don't know me, my name is Shastrakrit, and I serve in Los Angeles, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadish Mandir, New Dwaraka. I do book distribution, congregational development and other services. I was actually, I'm originally from South India, Tamil Nadu. I moved to New Zealand and I was studying there. And, you know, being away from home and being lonely and confused, I was just wandering the streets of Wellington, the capital. And they were handing out some flyers, and it was not flyers for the ISKCON Mandir. It was actually an invitation to come to a nightclub. And this nightclub was just for Indians. It was, they were serving like Kingfisher beer and this kind of things. So I wanted some friends, so I went there, I showed up to this Indian nightclub. And there's so many, young people there doing all kinds of, whatever people do in nightclubs. And there was one guy sitting alone. And then I went and spoke to him. He was an older gentleman. And his name was Krishna. And he said, "My name is Krishna, what's yours?" And then we started talking. He was such a nice person. And he invited me to become his flatmate. Because he was, he was also Tamil from Malaysia. And so I ended up, long story, but I ended up sharing the, place with him. And one day he came home actually with eight of Prabhupada books. He's so generous and nice. Somebody, one book distributor, had sold him like 8 books on the streets. I remember it was Krishna book, volume 1, 2, Bhagavad Gita, first canto, Bhagavatam, Science of Self-Realization, Journey of Self-Discovery, Quest for Enlightenment, one other book, I think it was Dharma. So he gave me the Krishna book. And I didn't want it to be, I don't know what it is, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. I started reading the first, introduction. Prabhupada is quoting Parikshit Maharaj, Nirvitta Tarshay Rupagiya Mana, Bhavau Sada Chotra Mano Virama, Kha Uttama Sloka Gunanu Vada, Puman Virajeta Vinapasugna. Who other than a butcher or one who is killing his own self will not take interest in activities and pastimes of Krishna? That was heavy. I was thinking, my God, what I'm getting into. And then I opened to this pastime of Krishna killing Putana. I read like a couple of pages, and then Maya took over. Maya works overtime in Kali Yuga, And then I started thinking, what is this? How relevant is this for me, I'm a business student and I'm not getting good grades, and my sisters are on my case because they're paying the fees, thousands of dollars. And what is this Krishna book, So I didn't want it to continue, even though it was fascinating. But this guy, friend of mine, Krishna, he was alcoholic, he would smoke cigarettes, he would make a tea and he would sit down and read Prabhupada's book. Just every time, he stopped talking, he would just read and read. And then I would complain to him, being in the material world, you have so many problems and you wanted to always share with somebody. So I'd complain to him and he said, he couldn't even say Prabhupada's name. He would say Prabhu Deva. He was saying, those of you from the West, Prabhu Deva is a dancer from India, Bollywood. So he would say like, Prabhu Deva says this, Prabhu Deva says that. I'm like, okay. And then I would again complain to him. Then he would say, all your problems you're experiencing because you're not reading these books. And I said, I cannot even understand the book you gave. So again, he took back the Krishna book and then he gave me the Science of Self-Realization. He said, I read this book, it's so easy, anybody can understand, it's so down to earth, you should read it. So I read the book and then he took me to the, then he invited me actually, come, we'll go for dinner. He was he was manager in a restaurant. So I thought he's taking me somewhere to eat, but then he took me to this preaching center. My Guru Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj, He has this loft, most of you know, all over New Zealand. So he took me to one of these loft centers and for a Sunday feast. And then the devotees were preaching to me, so many amazing Westerners, devotees. I was born in a Sri Vaishnava family, but never took it seriously. I heard so much of the philosophy, but these devotees started telling me about Krishna consciousness. I remember I sat with one Mataji, and then I said, "I'm a Brahmin." She said, "No, you're not." She said, "You have no qualifications of the Brahmana, you know." And she's like heavying me out. She's like, "If your father is a lawyer..." My father was actually a lawyer. And she said, "Doesn't mean you automatically become a lawyer," and so on and so forth. But then I realized this is like a real thing, you know, this is real Vaishnavism, and Prabhupada is giving to us in such a easily accessible manner. So when I was preparing for the talk, I started to remember how, you know, this was the first pastime I read. You know, sometimes we forget where we come from, or, you know, how degraded we were, and how Prabhupada's books brought us to the stage we are in. So it's good to take a stock sometime, think back, and, you know, it really helps our humility. And also remember this one time, our Tripurari Maharaj, a famous book distributor, he was actually distributing books in Los Angeles airport. And many military passed through the airport, and they're usually very favorable. I used to distribute books in the airport also. The military people are trained to be submissive. They give a book, they give you a donation. You know. They're like, "Yes, sir." So Tripurari Maharaj gave a book to this one military boy, and this boy said, "I only buy porn. I only buy pornography. I don't buy any other books." And Maharaj was shocked, and this boy said, "If you show me a breast in your book, breasts in your book, I'll buy." So Maharaj opened to this painting of Putana Rakshasa and showed him the painting, and he was like defeated. So he gave him $20, and so he actually bought the book. True story. So many things were coming to my mind. So this pastime actually explains how, you know, Putana Rakshasi had so much powers, but she was actually misusing them. She was misusing them to kill Krishna. This is the position of materialists. Prabhupada explains, just like a vulture is given very powerful eyesight, but this vulture only goes in the sky and is always looking for a dead body. Similarly, when a materialist is given power and position, they only abuse, they only exploit, and they're always thinking of how to cause harm. Like we can see, you know, so much potency Putana has, but, you know, she wanted to kill Krishna. Same way the materialist, all the things that have been produced in the name of happiness and security and prosperity and economic development, it's actually destroying our planet. The scientists are actually saying that if we continue to live like the North Americans, then we actually need 5 Earth planets, because we're depleting the resources so badly. It's already in red. We're just like mindlessly just going about, just trying to be innocent and trying to be happy and trying to enjoy. But in the process, we actually, you know, causing so much harm to ourselves and to others and other living entities, and we're destroying the planet. But if the same power and position is given to a devotee, how much benefit can this planet experience? Like we can see, so many powerful personalities walk this earth, like Jesus Christ, Muhammad, so many great personalities in recent times, so many Vaishnava Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada and his followers. They were given some assistance from Krishna and potencies. Then they influenced so many people's lives in a wonderful way. It's actually explained, I was reading, Prabhupada explains, Vaishnava is so powerful, he can bless somebody through three ways. Just like a mammal. Mammal is giving birth, and then it's breastfeeding its offspring. Similarly, when a Vaishnava touches us or there's some physical contact, we are blessed profusely. And also Prabhupada explains, just through looking at us, a Vaishnava can bless us. Like Prabhupada gives the example of a fish. A fish is swimming and she has all her babies following her offspring. And she occasionally just turns around and glances at them in a very affectionate way. And the children are nourished. Similarly, Prabhupada explains, and the Vaishnava just sees us, looks at us, glances at us with, blessings, then it also works. And also Prabhupada gives the example of a tortoise. The tortoise lays eggs in the land, but he's in the middle of the ocean, but just through meditation, the egg actually hatches and the babies come out. Similarly, when a Vaishnava just meditates on us, even if he's like thousands of miles away, we are actually blessed. Such is the potency of serving a Vaishnava and being in close connection. It's actually explained when Sripad Ramanujacharya was studying under this Mayavadi teacher. He was actually going through a hard time. And Yamunacharya was passing through. Yamunacharya came to Kanchipuram, where Ramanujacharya was studying. And he just saw Yamunacharya, and they didn't even meet. He just saw Ramanujacharya. They never met. And Yamunacharya was thinking, such a nice boy. He looks so effulgent and devotional. Why is he stuck in this school? And then he left. It's explained just from that, all the obstacles in the path of Ramanujacharya was removed. And he was able to get out from that school and, he was able to do so much service. Similarly, we also in Krishna consciousness, we are so fortunate. We are in association, we are in the company of so many exalted personalities. We cannot fathom our good fortune. Prabhupada said he created our good fortune. Actually, in my own family, I experienced this recently, this example of Vaishnava's mercy. My sister called me. I had sent her a book of our Radhanath Maharaj journey home. She read it. She lives in Brisbane, Australia. She was, she's a devotee, she chants, and she was very impressed. And she has a teenage daughter, 14-year-old daughter, and, being teenager, very naughty. And so my sister don't know how to deal with her. So my sister actually called me and said, why don't you tell your niece something about Krishna? Why don't you preach to her? I said, I just sent you a book and you were really inspired by that book. Why don't you share with this girl? So she actually gave the book to my niece and encouraged her, and somehow Krishna's mercy that she also read the book. She read the book cover to cover, and she came to Los Angeles for a few days. And as soon as I went to pick her up at the airport, first thing she says, didn't even say hello, how are you? She says, "I want to meet Radhanath." I'm like, okay. The amazing thing was, Maharaj was actually present at that time in LA just a couple of months ago. I said, "You know, you wouldn't believe he's actually here." And she was so excited the whole time. She's just telling me the, you know, what she read in the book and how she wanted to meet him. And then she actually had opportunity to listen to him in person, about three classes. And then she kept pressing me, "Take me to Maharaj, take me to Maharaj." So I asked Maharaj, "Can I bring this girl to see you?" Maharaj was so kind. He said yes. So we went and rang the bell, and it took a while for Maharaj to come, and she's all sweating. She's like, "No, no, we won't bother him. Let's go, let's go." I said, "No, no, it's okay." So Maharaj came and opened the door and welcomed us in. And she couldn't believe that she's in the presence of such an exalted personality, and she keeps looking at me like in disbelief. Maharaj was so kind. Maharaj said, "How are you? What's your name?" And Maharaj said to her, "You look like you have ocean of good qualities. And don't clog it with television. Let the good qualities come out through chanting of the holy names." And she was so impressed. Maharaj, she said to Maharaj, "You know, I'm so impressed with your book." And Maharaj actually asked her, like, "Which section did you like the most? What do you remember?" Maharaj actually told her, "By you reading and becoming inspired, I consider my writing successful." And she was so embarrassed. She's looking at me. And then Maharaj gave her a lot of mercy and invited her to come to Chaupati, and they took photos. And Maharaj had given her one orange, prasadam. And she lives in Australia, and she went back. And then my sister calls me, and my sister says, "You know what this girl did?" I said, "What?" She said she brought an orange back from America into Australia. I don't know if you guys are aware, you can go to jail if you brought one fruit into Australia from outside. Otherwise, it's like big fine, like $10,000 fine or something like that. But this girl had received this orange and she didn't want it to eat alone. She said, "I've received such a mercy. I wanted to take home and share with my parents. I don't care what happens in between." So she was so inspired, she actually smuggled this orange from the US and took it back and shared with my sister. And my sister was actually happy. At the same time, she was saying, "This foolish girl, you know, is complete extremes. Now she's so spiritual that she's doing such activities. Now she's chanting Hare Krishna, and you know, she's listening to lectures by Maharaj, and so inspired." I mean, I couldn't do it. They took me to New Zealand to be caretaker of this girl. I'd known her all her life. But I couldn't inspire her. But just by reading Maharaj's book, she became so inspired. So I was just thinking the potency when a Vaishnava is given facility and potency and chance, immediately they touch the hearts of so many people, so many millions of people. So we can see from this pastime, Prabhupada is explaining the position and the mercy of Krishna. It's amazing. Especially in the West, they have no idea of who is God or how merciful he is. All of you are big preachers, you know the philosophy that we hear from the Christians or Muslims or Jewish or Buddhist. They have no concept of what God is. Or if they have some idea, it's all based on fear. Just because you didn't know about God, you're sent to hell for eternity. And you burn in hell. But here we can see somebody approaching Krishna with poison-coated breasts. But Krishna is, Prabhupada is explaining, Krishna is thinking that somehow or other I have to give this soul mercy somehow or other. I have to deliver her. Krishna is thinking. Also in Kali Yuga, Krishna is always thinking how we can deliver these fallen souls of Kali Yuga that are really, really dull. Spiritually dull. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagyo padrata. No enthusiasm, no desire, no understanding spiritually. It's a very unfortunate age we are living. I was giving a talk in one university in Los Angeles. And then I was talking from the second chapter of the Gita and about how we are not the body and spirit, soul and consciousness. After like 45-minute lecture, this boy asks, if we are not our body, then whose body are we? I was like shocked, you know. And also another friend was telling me in New Zealand, he was distributing books and he came across two drunks. They were fighting with each other. And then somehow, you know, he showed him the book and this topic of reincarnation came up. And this one drunk guy is saying to the devotee friend, he says, can I reincarnate into this guy next life? And the other drunk is replying, hey, if you reincarnate into me, I'll kill you. It's like, you know, the devotee is like, okay, Hare Krishna. So many times we come across a present basic philosophy, but it's just, you know, hello. It's like nothing there. One devotee, one of our Prabhupada disciples in LA, Sura Prabhu, he goes teaching Krishna consciousness in yoga studios. And he gave one book, Spiritual Yoga, to one of the yogi women there. And she read the book. You know, the title was very attractive, but inside it's very heavy stuff. Rishabhdev and Yamunacharya. So she came back to me and said, Suradas, what's wrong with this Yamunacharya? What's wrong with this guy? Why is he spitting on the thought of sex? Like, you guys are weird. He was laughing. He was saying, you know, we give this book to these people, they just totally can't relate to it. You know? But still, it's our thankless task. Somehow or other, we have to present Krishna consciousness. And just somehow or other, if a devotee is favorably disposed towards a soul, Krishna blesses them. Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He actually sees the essence. Krishna is seeing Putana Rakshasi as a mother because she has come to feed him milk. Krishna saw her and gave her a position just like Krishna gave the cows and Mother Yashoda and all the elderly gopis. So Krishna is always thinking, especially Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, extremely merciful, doesn't take any offense. On the other hand, any service rendered, he blesses the conditioned soul so profusely. In older days, Prabhupada was actually asking devotees to distribute Gornithai deities on the streets, Gornithai dolls. And Prabhupada said, if somebody just purchases these Gornithai dolls and puts them in a shelf, and even if he drops a pen and he bows down to pick it up, Gornithai considers that as obeisances. You can imagine how much merciful Lord Chaitanya is. He doesn't consider the offenses of these fallen souls of Kali Yuga. But rather he sees any insignificant service rendered to the Vaishnavas and Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya blesses profusely, especially through this book distribution. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is coming through Srila Prabhupada's writings, and so many of our lives have been changed. It's like in our temple, Los Angeles temple, this devotee passed away, but one of our head pujaris in the past, his name was Ramdas Prabhu. And he was actually downtown. He was homeless. He was just going dumpster to dumpster, like, you know, garbage cans. He was trying to make a living, trying to, you know, pick up things from the dumpsters and like this. And he came across a Back to Godhead magazine while he was living downtown. And he read the magazine. He walked to the temple and he never left. Just joined the ashram and became an amazing devotee. Also, another Prabhupada disciple, Mataji, was telling me how she was actually living in the mountains, trying to be like a, you know, unique person, stay away from the city and this and that. And then she received a, she was a hippie, and she received a Back to Godhead magazine. And she saw there was a photo of Tulsi Maharani in the cover page of the Back to Godhead magazine. And she said, wow, these guys are far out. They dress plants with skirts. She said, this is my kind of people. So she came and joined the devotees. So there is so much mercy available in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada was actually asked, how do we know what we are all doing so much service, and we all have these questions. You know, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagati Kutub. We always have this question, okay, by pleasing spiritual master and Krishna, then, you know, my life is successful, but how do I know I'm pleasing Krishna? How do I know if I'm endeavoring in the right direction? And Prabhupada was asked this question, and Prabhupada said, if you're developing understanding of Krishna as the years are going by and you're understanding Krishna more and more, then that's the sign you're endeavoring, you're doing the right things in Krishna consciousness. But if Krishna remains vague, some kind of vague concept, or we don't have any, we're not developing any taste for chanting, if you're not falling in love with the deities, you know, holy name and service for Vaishnavas, then that's the sign there's something wrong. There's a simple test you can do, Prabhupada said. So this is the simple test we can all, you know, do to ourselves just to check, you know, where we are at in Krishna consciousness. For you know, we can take a stock of our position. So this pastime, since day one, always gives me hope. You know, the pastime of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. How when he heard this pastime, he went into trance to remember and hear about Krishna's mercy. So this is the hope in Krishna consciousness. We are not qualified. We're in Kali Yuga and we have so many anarthas, but somehow or other we hang in there, we, you know, keep company of the Vaishnavas, we serve the Vaishnavas, we pray fervently for mercy and we render service to Krishna. Definitely there is so much blessing awaiting us. We can feel it as in our everyday lives, how Krishna is reciprocating. So much mercy is available. But somehow or other, our tendency is to be like caught up in our, you know, petty problems and anxieties and stress and, you know, so many things. But everything will pass. Like recently I was in a retreat with Devamrita Maharaj in Wellington during Christmas. And he was explaining how when you're driving past a big mountain and you look through your window, and it's true, you're next to a mountain, and it's a huge mountain. But just the fact you're driving so fast, even though it's a reality, you will drive past the mountain. Similarly, everything in our lives is like that. It's, even though it may seem like right there and it's so real and so important, material things, But very soon you will drive past that and then we'll come to another situation. So the things are always changing, ever-changing world we're in. So why to take so seriously all these insignificant things, superficial things? My sister's father-in-law just passed away recently. And she was asking me, you know, my husband, they're Sri Vaishnavas, so her husband is emailing everybody that my father has attained the Paramapadam and, you know, it's our loss and it's Vishnu's gain and like this, but my sister don't like it. She's saying, this guy is so puffed up, he thinks his father went back to Godhead. But I knew what kind of person he was. I don't think he went back to Godhead. You know, the in-laws in India, Indian families. Always, never ending. So she's asking me like, so what? How should I see this? How should I see this? How do I forgive him? And at least hope that he got a human form and like this. So I was saying to her, you know, if you look at it from the bigger perspective, from the perspective of Brahma and Krishna, you know, you had so many father-in-laws, so many mother-in-laws, you had so many marriages. It's insignificant. You can get caught up and get into this karmic reaction and take birth again and take revenge and the whole thing, or you can let go and, you know, think about higher things, you know. We don't have time, we cannot afford to get caught up in this kind of dramas. So you got to let go, forget about it and, you know, chant and read. And I actually gave her the link that Radhanath Maharaj was speaking the other day about Ambarish Maharaj, how forgiving he was. Ambarish Maharaj's glories. I actually gave her the link and said, listen to this lecture and see if it helps you. She said, I'll listen to it and give you a text to see how I liked it. So this is our position. We're reading, we're chanting, so many things, but then we're caught up in so many insignificant things and, you know, Maya cheats us. So these are my humble realizations on this translation purport. We have, I think, few minutes if any of the senior devotees, anyone want to ask a question or share some of your realizations or comments, please feel free. I'll read the translation again. Lord Sri Krishna, the all-pervading super soul, lying on the bed, understood that Putana, a witch, who was expert in killing small children, had come to kill him. Therefore, as if afraid of her, Krishna closed his eyes. Thus Putana took upon her lap him who was to be her own annihilation, just as an unintelligent person places a sleeping snake on his lap, thinking the snake to be a rope. Jai. Thank you for your kind attention. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.